Welcome to the 'Cause I Love You podcast, a series of conversations designed to convene faith, civic, and nonprofit leaders in and around Colorado Springs. We want to foster greater collaboration between faith and civic partners so the church can be our city's greatest contributor towards human flourishing. Each month, we explore topics and struggles impacting people in the Pikes Peak region and connect you to the leaders that are working to end suffering and increase flourishing.
Well, hello, 'Cause I Love You friends, fans, and followers. Welcome to February already. I mean, gosh, how'd we get here so fast? My name is Stu Davis. I'm the executive director of 'Cause I Love You, and perhaps this is your first time checking out the 'Cause I Love You podcast. It's a set of intentional conversations in which we try to connect people who want to help to organizations that need help. And we talk about needs and crises and gaps that exist in our community, and we try to connect people to organizations doing good work in those areas. And we're starting 2022 off just a little bit differently, though, because areas of need aren't always the ones that we can see, such as homelessness or poverty or addiction or disease. And in fact, you can't often see those things, but there are other needs in our community that are less visible. And we're going to chat with some local friends and leaders about one of those things in a minute. But before we do, I'm happy to welcome, as I do every month, the Oracle in the 'Cause I Love Matrix.
Oh, wow.
That's your new title, Miss Corey Smith. Corey, I'm hoping that reference isn't lost on you.
How young do you think I am,
Stu? I'm just making sure.
There was a Matrix movie that was made this year.
It is true, but do you know that there were actually three a while ago?
Oh, see? I know my stuff.
Okay, yes,
it's great to be here, Stu. I'm so excited for this conversation today. It's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, and Corey, we've been at this podcasting thing for about a year already, and we've had such a good time, I think, getting to help our city connect to needs, to people who are helping to meet those needs. And I think we could help even more people, though, if we could get the word out about these episodes. And I know one way to do that is to have people just rate the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an easy way to support this podcast, the work of 'Cause I Love You. It's really simple. You can go to whatever platform you listen to the 'Cause I Love You podcast on, Apple Podcast app, Spotify, rate the podcast. So 5-star review.
And then we like those.
And then you can also leave a comment if there's something specific that you love or you want to see more of. We would love that. I would love to read, Stu. We have such an encouraging review that we recently got through Apple Podcasts, and I'd love to read it. Java Katie, so I think Katie likes coffee. That's my guess.
Probably.
Java Katie.
She's welcome here.
Says, I am so thankful to have found this podcast. I'm planning to relocate to Colorado Springs after feeling called to serve in that community. This podcast covers important topics in the Colorado Springs community and provides opportunities for people to serve and love on those around them who may be hurting and in need. This is what we're designed to do as humans, especially those of us who are Christ followers. I was blown away by that review.
Yeah, that is, I mean, frankly, that's exactly the kind of feedback that we like to get on these episodes. And I know that we've got some great content and people lined up for the next several months, but I think we'd also like to invite the community's input. Perhaps,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, if there's ways for us to get some ideas for some people who might want to hear about a specific thing, a specific topic, maybe even organizations that are doing good work, how could they make those recommendations to us?
Yeah. So you can do it a whole host of ways, whether you follow us on social media and want to leave a comment or send us a direct message. You can email us at info@'causeiloveyou.com with some ideas. You can leave it in your review of the podcast. Hey, I love this type of episode. We welcome that. So any online platform, really just reach out to us and we would love to take your ideas and run with it.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. So let's get back to the subject at hand here. Today's episode, we're talking about the intersection of faith and business. Corey, neither of us is a business owner.
No.
So it's interesting that 'Cause I Love You is hosting this conversation. But I think we talk a lot in our work. I talk a lot, at least out in the community, about this differentiation between the big C church and the small C church. And that we have small C churches scattered across our community, many of them doing so many good things. And a part of their core work is to gather people on Sundays or perhaps even midweek as well. To gather the people of God into the house of God for the sake of worship. But then we also commission the big C church to be out, the people of God to be out amongst our community. And I think this is a part of that larger conversation. We have people in the marketplace in various roles. Perhaps they're leading it. Perhaps they're just working in it. but bringing their faith into the marketplace. So I'm really excited about this conversation. I think it's going to be really, really fantastic.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. We hope that our listeners enjoy this episode. And make sure you stick around to the end of the episode where we'll be talking about next steps and some exciting things coming up for faith-driven marketplace leaders in our own city. It'll be important for you to just hear some of what's happening and what's ahead. We hope that you enjoy this episode of the 'Cause I Love You podcast.
Well, hello, 'Cause I Love You friends, fans, and followers, and those of you who perhaps are joining us for the very first time. Welcome to the 'Cause I Love You podcast. If you've never listened to an episode of this podcast before, you have jumped in at an incredible episode as I have the privilege of talking with not one, not two, but three great leaders, husbands, fathers, business owners, and friends right here in Colorado Springs. I will introduce them in just a moment, but first, let me just warn you. This conversation may be a little bit longer and more free-form than many of our previous episodes. The experience around the table today and the many things that we want to discuss, it just could lead us down some fun rabbit trails. And I'm going to do my best to keep us focused and the conversation tight. But when we get off subject, that's why we have our expert producer, Mr. Carson Smith, who can help us get back on track. So without any further ado, I would love to introduce my three guests today in no particular order of importance. Mr. Joel Malik is our first guest. Joel is the co-founder of Steadfast Wealth Company right here in Colorado Springs. He has been married to Holly for nearly 20 years, is the father of six children, Joel.
Tired when you say that.
And he serves on the board of one of our favorite local nonprofits here at 'Cause I Love You, Crossfire Ministries. He's also passionate about this subject of faith and business, and I am really privileged to have you on our podcast today, Joel. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. I'm happy to be included in this group.
Yeah, glad to have you. My next guest is David Leinweber, who, along with his wife Becky, owns one of the very best outdoor recreation shops in all of Southern Colorado. Everybody I know says they can't go in there because it's dangerous how much money they tend to spend. Angler's Covey Fly Shop. They're parents of two kids, one of whom I've had the pleasure to learn a little bit of fly fishing from, and have been local business owners here in town for over 25 years. Dave, we've had a lot of conversations leading up to today, and I'm really excited to have your perspective here. Thanks for coming.
Looking forward to it. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Last and certainly not least is a good friend of the 'Cause I Love You movement because really he helped get it all started back in the day. That's my friend Yemi Mobilade. Yemi and his wife Abby have three beautiful young children. He's the co-owner of two local coffee shops, the Wild Goose Meeting House and Good Neighbors Meeting House, two great spaces to just find friends. After several years on the staff at our local Chamber of Commerce, Yemi has spent the last several years on Mayor John Souther's staff as the Small Business Development Manager for the City of Colorado Springs. And this subject today, Yemi, is one of your core passions. And it goes without saying that you are always welcome on this podcast. Good to have you, friend.
Thank you for having me, Stu.
So, Yemi, I do want to start with you because we need to make a bit of a disclosure here. You and I, along with several other friends, helped to get this 'Cause I Love You thing started several years ago.
That is correct.
And it would be easy, I think, for you and I to sit here and just trade stories and compliments. I know I have no shortage of compliments for you, but that's not why we're here. The four of us are here in various ways. We sit at the intersections of faith and civic life. And there's a lot of different roads that lead to that intersection. And this intersection of kind of faith and business is one that's a point of passion for you. Why?
First of all, I think you and I should have a podcast where we just talk about 'Cause I Love You stories. I think that'd be fun
that.
Too.
Okay. It'd be fun for the two of us. I'm not sure about anybody else.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe we should just have coffee over that. No, Stu, you are correct. This topic is a point of passion for me and my friends who are also in this podcast because it's, for me, it's everything. They say the opening line of a book or literature is arguably one of the most important pieces of the book because it sets the tone for the rest of the narrative. And we have to look into the Bible in the book of Genesis 1:1, and it really opens up with, in the beginning, God created. So God, faith, created work. And when you see how the story unfolds, and you see that in Genesis 1:1, God created. Genesis 1:6 and 1:7, God made. Genesis 1:21, God created. And it's this back and forth around a God who more or less worked. And so what I like to remind my friends is that I think work is like one of the most sacred things that we do, that this thing we do Monday to Friday, it's not just to make an ends meet. That's part of it. It's not just to get us through the weekend. It's not just to get us income in our pockets so we can have a house. That's part of it. But it's the very essence of who we are and our calling. And God, you see God working, and as the story unfolds, that we show up. Let us create humans who can also create like we do. And then you see that God gives Adam the first job, name the animals. Mm-hmm. So before there was sin, there was work. Before there was mention of worship, a temple, we find this thing called work from the very beginning. It's our most sacred calling. And so it's important that I think we remind people that what we do Monday to Friday is not, it has great meaning. And the last thing I'll say about this is I always usually start with this sort of like a joke, but not really a joke. I would say, what does the carpenter, what does a farmer, a carpenter, and a city planner have in common? The three occupations of God in the scriptures, Genesis, Matthew, and Revelations.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's good. So really, I mean, the idea of work begins with an expression of that creative image in us. From God. Yeah. So Joel, I want to turn to you. You and I have really only recently gotten to know each other, but I've been aware of you for several years now. And we shared a meal recently where you told me about the role that you feel like God gave your faith, God gives to you in your faith and the way that you run your business. But before we get to that, what do you think are the challenges that faith-based business owners or leaders are facing today?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, it's unfortunate that I have to follow that because that was really good. Yeah, I mean, I think it pretty much sums it up. But, you know, the challenges we face, I think we could all spend time kind of going down the list, cultural, things of that nature. But I wanted to think a little bit deeper, more to kind of the essence of the problem. And when I do that, I come up with a few different things. In business, it's not the same as going to church, right? I mean, people come to church and they're at least seeking, right? But in our businesses, people may not care, you know, what our faith is. They're not necessarily interested. And so in the church environment, you see a lot of talking, whether it's the message, the worship. In a business environment, I think you get a lot more doing. And I think we need to focus on that. Now, one piece that I've just come to find to be very prevalent today is the fact that we've really let work become transactional for the people that work in our workplaces. It's become more of an exchanging time for money type of mindset. But we spend so much of our lives at work. That's a huge disappointment. I mean, I feel like we need to start changing time for purpose. You know, and so what I'm trying to do at our firm is we work very hard to try to help people connect what they do during the day that is so kind of rudimentary and boring at times to the bigger story of the impact they're making in the people's lives that they serve. And that's a way to get this idea that, man, your work is really, it's such a big part of your life and has to be a form of purpose and worship, really. The only other thing I would add is, I feel like the biggest problem we face as business leaders is our own personal walk, you know, and our own holiness and the way we're pursuing God. If we don't get that right, which is work, you know, it's not easy. I don't want to portray it as easy because we're all busy. We're business owners. We're running 100 miles an hour. We have to find the time, just like a pastor would, to have a personal relationship, you know, with our Savior, because that's really where we get the energy, the perspective, and the wisdom to lead our people well. If we're not doing that for ourselves, all the other problems aren't going to be fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, that transactional thing that you mentioned a minute ago is really important. And I think all three of you guys would agree that it's not just about your clients and customers, it's also about your employees, which actually, Dave, leads me to one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because we've had a number of conversations here lately where you have, I think, just a powerful story to tell of both kind of great success and great tragedy kind of at the same time. 2020 was a really significant year for you and your business. On one hand, and I don't want to take your story, but on one hand, you guys were seeing incredible growth and success in your business, operating an outdoor-oriented business in COVID when anybody and everybody wanted to get outside. But you also lost a couple of employees in some really tragic ways. Can you just kind of talk about that experience and this idea of transcending the transactional exchange you have even with employees and what it looks like to work with them as as friends, as partners, as people that you actually want to care for?
You know, basically, we moved and built a new building on 21st Street and Highway 24. And in that process, our business just really has accelerated ever since. And so we were continually growing it. And as an owner, CEO, I'm up there trying to, I got, you know, as a business owner, you've got your hands in a million different things, a million kind of things going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're developing new employees and staff and our guides. And, you know, all of a sudden I look around, I've got like 50 people that are kind of working for us in one way or the other. And, you know, I get people like Jamie who comes to our work, and he left the tech industry because it was just so high pressure, is what he said. And he came and was working for us, was great. He was just helping us all different avenues. And then he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And it blindsided us. We were like, what? Like, what happened? And all of a sudden, I realized that I wasn't finding a way, because I was caught by surprise. I was blindsided, literally. And I kind of felt like, gosh, how did I let this happen? You know, because you certainly suicide is something that is an individual choice. But the people around them always ask that question. I could have done more, right? I could have done more. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started opening my eyes. I started thinking about stuff. And not a year later, Earl committed suicide. And now I'm like, what am I missing here? Like, I'm really screwing up, right? And then we launched into COVID, okay? And so I'm literally trying to figure out how to lean into people. And the conversation at the time was all about wearing masks, social distancing, don't touch people, stay away, everyone stay home. And there was no conversation about mental health. And I was like going, I need to have a conversation about mental health because I'm missing it here, right? I'm missing something. And so that led me to kind of start looking for things. Things started popping out. El Paso County Health had some programs I took online. Zoom became a great tool, right?
Yeah, in many ways.
And so yeah. I'm taking these seminars there. I'm taking seminars at UC Health had some programs. I was taking stuff there. And as I kind of went through there, I kind of got lost in it because I think they gave me good like antidotes or tools or ways to approach people and be aware, you know, and that kind of thing. But when I look back, it was like those things weren't – those really don't have the full solution here, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I look at my own life and I look, I mean, I've gone through lots of struggles. I've had lots of issues throughout my life. We all have, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But the things that have brought me through was not knowing how to relate to, you know, people and tell people my story and kind of, it was my faith. And that's where I kind of went, well, how do I integrate my faith into my business?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the question that I think we want to kind of get into here, Dave, and really for all three of you, because I think it's one thing to have, as business owners, a set of core values or principles by which you operate your business. Yemi, I know for you and Russ, hospitality is such a big thing for you guys with your businesses. Joel, I know generosity is such a big thing for you guys. But in the everyday kind of nitty-gritty bustle of business, you have to make decisions. You have to deal with challenging situations. You have to figure out how to care for employees, just like what Dave was talking about. How do you find ways to do those everyday things in ways that both honor your faith and also care for your people, clients, customers, employees, who may not share it? How do you guys find yourselves in the midst of that tension?
If I may take a stab at that, and Dave, this is something you posed the question so well. How do we integrate faith with our everyday work? I told Stu this actually not too long ago, that when I was VP of Business Retention and Expansion at the Chamber and EDC, so my job was to help care for local businesses, help them stay, help them expand. And because I live in this intersection of being a pastor and being a leader in the community. So it was not uncommon that I would have the opportunity to speak at my church or an area church on Sunday. Then on Monday, I'm visiting with a business leader. Mm. And I would usually introduce myself and shake their hands, and they would say, "Oh, I know who you are." And say, "Wow, okay, I hope that's good, and not because it's a bad thing." And he would say, "You spoke at my church yesterday." I was like, "Oh, okay." And then he would follow up with, "I have a question for you. I'm really curious how to do Sunday life all throughout the week. I have no idea how to integrate my faith into my everyday experience." And what was supposed to be an official chamber and EDC meeting, about 15 minutes of it is us talking about this very topic. And then the next 45 minutes is, how do I help you? But you see that there's a hunger. There's a hunger from a lot of business leaders to figure out how to do this. And Dave, your story is just a wonderful example. And if I ask enough, well, what are you doing? You know, tell me about your staff members. I get many times, all I have to do is help connect the dots. When they begin to talk about their direct report, who's going through a divorce, and perhaps there are ways that they can lean in and be Jesus to them in that season. And then you can see that it finally clicks. So there's a lot of little opportunities, and I think we just have to help them connect the dots. For us, yes, hospitality for us and me in our business is a huge value. And creating community is really the mission, and we do it through coffee and food. One of the ways we've ensured that we curate the values that we want our managers and team members to continue to live out is every quarter I host a quarterly meeting at my house. It's sort of like a leadership rally. We invite all the managers and the leaders, and Russ, they come over. We have a meal. We laugh. We go around the circle. We do like a check-in, and then we have a leadership topic. We talk about the business, but in that space, we're free to talk about personal challenges.
And what I hear you saying there, Yemi, is that you are you're willing to invite your people, again, I say people, customers, clients, employees, but in this case, your employees, into a space where work and life intersect. In other words, they're not compartmentalized, which, as somebody who's not in the business industry, I certainly do have employees, people that work with and for me. But my understanding is, like, in the business world, you guys would say that there is an increasing hunger for employees to feel like there's less of a separation between work life and non-work life. There's more integration amongst the two. And if so, again, going kind of back to that question, how do you guys help maybe foster that integration? And are you trying to make space for that?
Yeah, first of all, I've learned a lot so far. So thank you guys. You know, I tend to try to work backwards in some of these things. And so when I think about faith in the workplace, I try to think about what it isn't. You know, and I'm convinced that our goal should not be to leverage faith to try to have a better business, or in that scenario, maybe more profitable, right? We don't want to weaponize faith to try to create a better culture necessarily. We want to do it because it's what God calls us to do and how to care for people. Now, the beauty of that is, and when we do it well, God's faithful and intends to bless our businesses, but it's not the reason we enter that. And so I try to get the order right first. And I think historically you would find, hey, client's always right, right? I mean, it used to be kind of a saying. It's like, oh, that's a terrible way to approach it, I think, when we're trying to build a company. Client can be right, but the team comes first. So in our organization, you know, the team's above the clients we serve, and they need to know that. You know, we value you above the people that come in here. We respect you, and if they treat you poorly, it's not your fault; it's theirs. You know, instead of feeling like we're always rallying around the client. So that's a very specific example, but we go team, client, and then resources. And I think that's an important way to look at it, is we put profit at the very bottom of what we do. It's not because we don't want to have a profitable business, but we know that if you chase profit, the other two things tend to deteriorate. And if we can chase the other two things first, profit really takes care of itself, honestly. That's what I found.
Yeah, for me, the thing I'm kind of identifying is, I don't know if there's a particular thing for a small business owner or manager or whatever, your list of to-dos never goes away, right? And you're always like, oh, I got to get these 12 things done in the next like so much time. So there's that constant, right? And so the personal kind of like dissipates and it crowds out that because you've got all this other things. And the things that I've kind of identified with, and even when I told my story, I told my story by using their names. Mm-hmm. And so what I try to do in my business now is when I hear an employee or one of my guides or someone come in, I try to say in my head their name. And that helps me engage or helps God engage with me to say, hey, this is this person. Is there something I need to do? Sometimes it's like, nope, he's good. Kenny, great, right? Sometimes it's, hey, Kenny, go talk to him, right? So I try to open myself up to being aware that the Lord is right there, ever present, right? But sometimes the to-dos kind of muffles that.
Listeners, we're going to take a moment in the middle of this episode to talk about some of the exciting things coming in 2022. Most notably, we are adding a Spring City Serve Day expression. So on April 30th and May 7th, two consecutive Saturdays, we will be offering an opportunity for the community to get out into the city and serve with no strings attached, much like our Fall City Serve expression. But now we have one in the spring, which is pretty great. Additionally, we'll still be doing things like the Backpack Bash. Our citywide worship gathering will happen August 19th at the end of the summer, and we'll still have our annual Fall City Serve Day on Saturday, October 1st. If you'd like to learn more about what's ahead for 'Cause I Love You in 2022, please visit 'causeiloveyou.com.
So kind of zooming out a little bit, I mean, it's you guys are talking about some very practical things that you're doing with your people. And again, people being a broader term, but you know, it's not really, I mean, these tensions have been very real for you guys. And I know that there's no magic bullet, no one thing that you could do that would help walk this tightrope of faith and business perfectly. It's difficult. It's always shifting. And in fact, it could be shifting down to how you deal with one person versus another. But let me just ask, what do you hope for in running your business in this conversation? What is it that you, if you could snap your fingers, what would you like to see happen in terms of this intersection of faith and business?
That Jesus comes back.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maranatha.
Yeah.
Do I get the point?
Yes.
Yeah. No follow-up.
Okay, until then, Dave, between now and then, what would you love to see happen as it relates to your people that you care for in your business, your employees, your customers?
Well, I know for us, one of my goals that gets me up on Monday morning is that I want to see people grow personally, you know, and in the work we do is a function of that. But we spend lots of time in our business, just helping people grow. And it doesn't have to be even in what we're doing, but just, I want to see them thrive in their personal life. You know, obviously would love to see them come to faith. And so we do some things that tries to open the door for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. We don't feel like we're in a position where we need to convince them in the workplace, but we want to love them properly. I was reading Luke 10 this morning, just coincidentally in a way, and I thought to myself, wow, this could be a book on the intersection of faith and work, coming right out of Luke, and I won't go into all the specifics maybe for another time. But I think the other thing is I want business owners to just relax. You know, I feel like there's so much weight on their shoulders in terms of, man, I feel like I need to bring more faith to the workplace, or, you know, we cannot control how people in our workplace are going to respond to the types of values we bring to the table. And I don't think that's our job. And I think we get discouraged when, something doesn't go well in the workplace and we feel like we failed. And in some cases we maybe have, and that's okay. I don't think God calls us to be perfect leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he calls us to just stay in the fight, be aware, and continue to try to grow ourselves and allow that to reach the people that work for us. You know, so I think it's just a sense of like, man, just take the pressure off a little bit. Try to love your people. You know, try to serve humbly and not from a position of pride. And I feel like if we do that, you know, God's going to do the work that he needs to do. And it's unfortunate. I've had multiple situations this year that just didn't go the way that I expected them to go. I mean, I felt like I was doing my best and trying to love the people the right way. And it just came back in my face. And, you know, I chalk it up and say, God, what do you want to teach me through this? I mean, I can't hang my hat on being successful all the time with people in my workplace in terms of that faith component. You know, so I do have to totally trust and lean on the Holy Spirit to work in their heart and lead them where they need to lead.
I have a macro calling, so my heart is not just for the people that come into my business. My heart is for the entire city and all of God's people. And I know that people around the circle share the same passion. And I know you're going to be talking about some next steps too. But for all the business leaders of faith, whether the owners or the managers or simply just workers, it's like I want to remind them that Jesus is making all things new, including the way we work. Mm-hmm. Studies say that about a third of our lifetime is spent working. That's about 90,000 hours in the course of a lifetime. And Joe, you've mentioned it three times now, that we spend a lot of time at work. Yes, we do. And my desire is that we see that as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for discipleship. It's an opportunity for ministry. I'll share this story real quick. Since you use name, I'll use a name. And his name is Dr. Biza. This is my wife's doctor. He delivered both of our babies, and I've never met a doctor whose name comes up randomly in conversations, but several times Dr. Biza's name comes up. So our introduction to Dr. Biza was when my wife and I had our first miscarriage. We had a miscarriage, which is when you don't know you've miscarried and your body still thinks you're pregnant. So we went in for the ultrasound, realized that there was nothing. Obviously devastating. My wife's doctor was on vacation. So the doctor on call was Dr. Biza. So he sees us. We sit in a room waiting for him. Dr. Biza walks in, introduces himself to us, sits with us, holds my wife's hand, and just cries with us. You would have thought we were his first patient. I mean, you guys know that that's not common to medical doctors. And he sat with us and was patient with us. And the way he cared for us, and I have so many more stories around him that I don't have time to tell. But I remember several times telling my wife, I bet he's a follower of Jesus. And sure enough, in one of our conversations, I just flat out asked him. And you know what his response was? My work is my ministry. That is the way he approaches being a doctor. And that's why his name comes up over and over, because so many families have felt discipled by him. And my desire, Sue, is that we all enter our work, like in the way that Dr. Biza does, to see the work itself as an opportunity to further the kingdom of heaven.
And that's that doing versus saying.
Exactly.
He lived it.
Yeah.
Yemi, for you, I think starting a business was an active expression of your faith. It was a direct a conduit for that. The two are linked. So Joel, I know for you, you hung out your own shingle because you saw a way to work differently in your industry, but maybe the tie to faith may not have been perhaps quite as direct. Dave, my understanding from our conversations is that your venture didn't really have much to do with faith. It was just an opportunity that you seized 25 years ago to keep a good thing going. So whether there's a direct tie between your faith in your marketplace venture, or it just so happens that you're a person of faith in the marketplace, how do you, and more broadly, I think, how do we think with a kingdom mindset about the world of business and vocation?
For me and Becky, I think it's always been that we are owners of nothing, and that we are our business, the resources that we have, everything is really, you know, really belongs to God. And God's called us to work, and work is a honoring thing, and we should be proud of that and do it with all that we can do. So I think there's an element for us that's always kind of led us that direction. But I also think that there's a piece that is really, I think, instrumental, is that somehow in the last generation or so, we've developed this mindset of church and state. And there's something there that church is here and state is there. And the state shouldn't be in the church and the church shouldn't be in the state. And we've created in our culture this kind of barrier, like it's not appropriate to cross that line. But yet we should cross that line. The church should be in the community. The church should be in the business world, right? Yeah. And business should be in church. It should be bringing its talents and resources to the church so that it could. We've got to find a way to kind of get that line to disappear. We've erected this huge fence. And so, you know, when I think about how we got to figure out how to get that line erased. The church needs to be more involved in business, particularly when it comes to mental health and caring for people. And the business world, I mean, to some extent, needs to help some churches really develop. I mean, there's some marketing people that could really help some churches,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it can be a faith-centered thing, right? Yeah. It's just not business motivated, right? Mm-hmm. So do you see where I'm saying, yeah, where, yeah, those talents need to kind of bleed over?
Well, you're singing the 'Cause I Love You song. I mean, it really is. So that, you know, to bring the church into the city, into the community, bring all of its talents and as it can, its strengths into for the benefit of our city. But then also turn around and realize that there are people who are part of the Big C Church in our city that God has ordained to be in these various roles of business, just like you guys are, and how they can exercise that as a place of ministry. So, Yemi, Joel, anything that you guys would add to that, this kingdom mindset about the world of business and faith?
At, I don't know, 5 a.m. this morning or something, I wrote the words down on here, blur the lines. You know, we need to blur the lines. And I think that can, you know, historically maybe it was taken in a negative context, but I think here it's a very positive one. Is we can't bring our faith to work. Our work is our faith. The two cannot be separated when you see it the way Dave just described it. And so for me, I like to think we're stewarding and not profiting, you know, and I think words matter. I think the way we say things to ourselves frame the way we think about it, which changes our behaviors. And so when I look at it that way, I just feel like it's easier to build upon this idea. Dave, that was really, really well done. And your voice is super cool, by the way. I feel like you should just, I feel like you should just be on the radio. just say anything. It's like, so
I suck at that.
No, that's really good. And these are the kinds of conversations that I think we want to curate more of in and around our community, places where the kingdom of God can show up in our everyday lives. And it's one thing to be a part of a local church community, participating in a body of believers on a Sunday, but I think you three would agree that for many of us, our greatest kingdom contributions are not what we do on Sundays, but rather what God has called each of us to do with the other days where He's placed us to be creators, to be people who produce good things in our city. He's placed us in positions to make people curious about this person called Jesus out there, not just kind of in here. So, guys, as we wrap up, I just want to give a way for our listeners to find you here in our city. Yemi, what's the best way for people to track with you? I mean, aside from visiting one of my two favorite coffee shops in town, just how can people kind of track with what you are doing here in the city?
You can Google me and stalk me. It's okay. No, I do have a personal website, yemimobilade.com or yemi.city. You can find me there.
And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yes.
And I think we want to talk about just briefly.
Oh,
you've,
yes,
got some big things that are coming in
your
year this year.
I do. And I pray for me. I do have another website called project42cos.com. It's a early grassroots movement around me running for to become the 42nd mayor of Colorado Springs. So that's going to be my life in 2022 and 2023. So I ask for your prayers, and I'm sure it's going to be easy to find me coming up soon.
Yeah, that is going to be true. And Yemi, I just want to say, I mean, it's a big calling to enter into that world. You've been in that world for now a while, but this is just a more prominent step. And I think God honors people who say a very faith-filled, but even a little bit sometimes this kind of awesome idea, and I mean awe-filled idea of being in such a public space as a believer. So Joel, for you, I know you guys are kind of making some changes to the way that you do Steadfast. How can people kind of track with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, we're changing our name to Ever Oak Wealth Co. Because we've been sued by a hedge fund in New York, which is not a made-up story. Instead of spending $1.5 million to defend ourselves, we thought we'll just rebrand.
Yeah.
Talk about stewarding.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I'm on all the social media platforms, probably the least followed person on the planet. So if you would like to follow me, that'd be fantastic. Credit.
He's an author. Find his book, After Work. It's a really good one.
It
touches this topic.
Probably the easiest place to find me, actually, is theafterwork.net. We wrote a book that is designed to help people coming close to retirement try to find some purpose. And we've learned that it's a good message that is being received well. So I'm enjoying that part too, because just when we stop working in the traditional sense, we're not done working.
So after saying you're the least followed person around this table, you're the only person around this table that's on Amazon.
Exactly.
That's true.
Okay. That's what I thought. Thank you. Dave, I walk into your fly shop all the time, even though I'm not a very accomplished fisherman, but aside from people feeling connected to the fishing industry and walking into your shop and just enjoying what you guys have put up there, I know you guys are up to some other things here in the community, you and Becky. Just talk about that very briefly.
Well, for me, connection to God is really through creation. And so I've always been a lover of the outdoors, and I've seen things, you know, with the outdoors, and we have a little bit of a crisis in the outdoors right now. We're not thinking about it or caring about it enough. And so I helped start a nonprofit called Pikes Peak Outdoor Recreation Alliance. Becky is actually the executive director of that now, and it's taking on a regional plan for our outdoor space. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to kind of be involved in the community and do something that is really important to us, because we look at Pikes Peak, but what if it wasn't, what if something happened, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What if we had a big fire? What if, you know, things like that. I think as Christians, sometimes we get focused on Jesus, which is fine, but I don't think Jesus focuses on himself all the time, right? I mean, he was a carpenter for a long time. He was engaged in work, engaged in the community. And I think as Christians, we have to be engaged in the community. So if you want to find me, I'm usually the tall guy in the room.
It is true. As a fellow tall guy, you're one of the few guys that I look up to.
So that's
in
generally
the physical sense. I look up to all three of you in other senses.
But we also have, I'm not sure when this airs, but on February 5th, we're doing fly fishing film tour event. And it's kind of like the Warren Miller ski films, but it's a combination of films all about fly fishing. So the fly fishing around the world and different stories are told through film.
Okay, so quickly, what's the web address?
That's going to be at Stargazers. They can come to EnglishGovy.com to find out more information. But Stargazers on Saturday the 5th. And we raise money for an organization called Project Healing Waters, which uses fly fishing to help vets kind of transition back into life.
Yeah. Well, guys, for all three of you, certainly, I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, your experience. I think there's folks that are going to be listening to this over the course of the next months, perhaps even years, who knows, that will be benefiting from just the kind of conversation. For those of you who are listening, if this has been a helpful conversation, we just want to invite you. We're going to talk more about some things coming up that Cuz I Love You that Dave Lineweber and I are going to be doing together here in the next few months. So keep an eye out for that. But guys, I just want to say a heartfelt thanks, and not just for your time here today, but for the roles that you play in our community, for the things that you're passionate about, for the ways that you care for your people. And I just want to say good on you and keep it up. And hopefully for those of you who are listening that find yourselves in similar situations, I would say the same. Keep finding ways to bring your faith to the table, to bring it into our city, because it matters. Wow, what a great conversation that was. I mean, it almost makes me want to jump into a local business venture myself. Almost. not quite, but close. I mean, I think we would all agree, those of us who are listening here to the conversation, what an enjoyable conversation it was. One of the most, I think, enjoyable we've had on these podcasts. Corey, what did you think?
Yeah, I really appreciated the group that we had on the podcast, obviously very strategic, high-level leaders that are bringing business to the forefront in our city. Also, very vulnerable. They shared some great stories of the way that they saw business being pretty crucial to the community and being impacted by people that took their job, not just as a job, you know, clock in, clock out, but as an opportunity to impact the city for good.
As a calling.
As a calling. Yeah, that's so good. Yemi shared a story of a doctor that really impacted him and his wife that saw it as more than just sitting in a doctor's office mm-hmm. and, you know, checking on folks, but really took it as a calling. And Dave shared a story of how he's really trying to care for his staff. I really appreciated their vulnerability. And I think that is what we're after, seeing mm-hmm. leaders that see the work they do as a calling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things that I heard was just this idea, and you heard them express it in different ways, but living in kind of amongst tension, that there's always this tension of moving the business forward, but also caring for people, of doing stuff that's inwardly focused and stuff that's outwardly focused. There's always these tensions, I think, and I think that's true if you're in leadership in any capacity, business or otherwise. But certainly, I remember hearing many years ago a leader articulate the difference between a problem to solve and a tension to manage. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps especially for faith-based business owners, there's this tension that we have to manage of how do I, in winsome ways, in ways that aren't unhelpful, how do I bring my faith into my business and caring for my customers, caring for my people, but that also pays attention to the bottom line and the things that are actually going to help keep the business open. So that tension was very present for all three.
Yeah, and they talked about how they navigated that. Stu, you alluded to some great work ahead mm-hmm. in the faith and marketplace kind of sphere. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you may have heard Dave allude to it in our conversation, but he and I have been working together with several other local marketplace kind of leader, owner, manager types about an event later this spring that will really help us shape more of these conversations. We are not short of great organizations that help people understand faith and work. And so we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. In fact, just up the road from us in Denver is a great resource called the Denver Institute for Faith and Work. They do a great job of resourcing people like Dave and Yemi and Joel in these conversations. But we also want to do something locally that allows us to have kind of some just brass tacks conversations about these issues and things that the local marketplace Christians face and connect them to others in that same tension. As we talked about. So be on the lookout for an event announcement later this spring. We're still hammering out some of the final details, but we're excited to be able to convene those conversations here in the next few months.
Listeners, as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, we invite you to like, subscribe, share this episode, leave a review, tell us what you'd like to hear more of. We would appreciate all of your feedback. And we hope you'll join us next month where we begin a 4-episode run of the 'Cause I Love You podcast we're calling the City Series. We will be interviewing dynamic city and county leaders, and this city series will offer an inside look at the infrastructure and workings of Colorado Springs. We're excited for what's ahead, and we look forward to being with you next month on the 'Cause I Love You podcast.